Back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. Joining us on the line, our Republican Party chairman here in Alabama, John Wall, is with us. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Hey, last night, Nashville suburbs, well, more than that, but that sliver of Tennessee from state line to state line, I you know, I'm not going to tell you it's the best possible outcome for Republicans, but Democrats got problems, it looks like, to me, from it.
Well, let me look. There's arguments to be made on both sides. I think one, the most important thing is that we won last night. The race was far closer than it should have been. And I think that is, should be, and I hope is a wake up call for Republicans. We cannot take this sort of 2026 cycle for granted. The Democrats are very organized. They know what they want. They're going to fight for it. And there are, this is going to be a battle for the very heart and soul of our country. But the 2026 election cycle. That being said, once again, we saw the problems with the Democrat Party. And we saw a candidate who was fundamentally flawed, obviously did not share the values of the people of that district. Policies were completely off the wall. And as long as the Democrats continue to really be completely out of touch with the values of the American people, I think that gives us hope, and we have a chance to communicate the message and get away from personality and get to the policies that affect people's lives. That's when Republicans win.
My perception is that, okay, the energy is all anti-Trump right now on the Democrat side, and there's something to be said about that. I mean, that's great, right? If you got that energy and you're a political party, it's there. There's enthusiasm, but it's becoming the face of it. And that's not a pretty face. That's not what people are really eager to go out and vote for. Now, for some it is, but in a general, wholesale, broad sense, it's not at all.
No, I mean, and I think you're absolutely right. What the Democrats have to offer and what they're going to campaign on is personality. They're not Donald Trump. They don't like Donald Trump, and they're going to try to appeal to through the mainstream media. And let's be honest about this. The propaganda arm of the Democrat Party is the mainstream media. And through that unpopularity that they're trying to create with Donald Trump is what they're going to run on. They're not going to run on actual solutions. They're not going to run on policy. They're not going to run on actually fixing the problems that our country is facing, things like crime, securing the border, the economy. They're going to concentrate on personality. And I think you're right. I think for the Republican side, for conservatives, we need to oppose that. We need to talk about the issues and not allow ourselves to get drawn into this personality contest. Because when we do, the mainstream media uses that and almost always defeats us with it. And we have to go directly to the American people, speak about what the Republican Party stands for, what we're doing to defend their rights and freedoms, to stand up for family values, to bring sanity back into our culture. And if we do that, I think we have a great opportunity, because I think you hit the nail on the head. What the people, what the voters want are a party that can talk about a vision and helping them be more successful. And right now, all the Democrats have is attacking Donald Trump.
I'll tell you something else that caught my eye. Now, the Emerson poll that was published right before the election had the race at 2 points. And it turned out to be 9 points. That's a big gulf. Now, I think these media pollsters right now, Chairman, they're going to do this. They are going to, they're exaggerating Democrat enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Their models are way off here. That they think they're going to get the kind of Democrat turnout that they get. And, I think they're not really taking into account the quality of candidate, or that, you know, that the enthusiasm is isolated in one part of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, look, I think that's spot on. And look, there's an old quote, and you're talking to someone, you know, who used to do polling. I was a pollster in the past, worked for candidates. And so I am probably more familiar with the polling scene and what is used and what is done than most. And I will tell you right now, there's an old adage that says, you know, numbers don't lie, but liars use numbers. And I think when you're looking at polling, that's always the thing to keep in mind, whether it's intentional or not. Most of these pollsters choose lists. Instead of letting the voters, you know, just calling a general list, they try to estimate what the turnout is going to be. And they get way too nuanced in it. They get way too down into the weeds. And like you said, make the assumption that Democrats are going to turn out at a higher rate. And they make mistakes. And whether it's intentional or accidental, I think we see that over and over again where polling favors Democrats because the pollsters come at this with a worldview and with already with a bias in place as they're working on the polling. And so that's why I always tell candidates all the time, make sure that your pollster doesn't come at it from either a conservative or a liberal perspective, but comes at it from an honest approach of getting to the bottom level, which is listening to the voter. And I think that's a tremendous problem we have across public opinion polling across the board right now. It is the attempt to figure out what voters are going to do instead of letting voters tell you.
Well, I tell you something though, maybe it works as a mechanism to get more Republican voters out or whatever, but it's almost like they're trying to poison the well. If you have these polls that show, wow, a dispirited Republican electorate and you have Democrat candidates with that advantage, does it depress Republican turnout or does it make Republicans say, oh, well, we need to get more engaged here. This is really important. So, it's not an honest assessment of the state of play.
Correct. They're trying to decide what voter base is turning out instead of just calling the general population and letting the general population tell them where the excitement's at. And I think it's just it's the attempt to be too cute, too good at what you do, to where you think you know better how to model a turnout than just listening to the average voter.
Yeah, and they're modeling the turnout, but I mean like. Plus two versus the reality plus nine days apart. I mean, that's
somebody made a mistake somewhere, right?
Yeah, that's no small thing. This was treated as the credible poll. This is what the media were running with. And I think they don't, what they're not taking into account, Chairman, is the candidates that Democrats are going to put up are not a generic out of the box Democrat. Mm-hmm. They're the angry anti-Trump, and it's just, like I said, it's just not a pretty picture. And that's something Democrats, I think, are going to have to grapple with, and Republicans have to recognize this in these midterms coming up.
No, agreed 100%. And look, it goes back to what we were talking about originally. What the Democrats have is Donald Trump, they don't like Donald Trump. That's really all they have. When you look at the candidate up in Tennessee, her policies, whether it's family values, the woke policy, border security, national security, taxes, her support of socialist policies. She was clearly out of touch with the people of Tennessee, and the people of Tennessee very clearly spoke and this is a message nationally too. Policy does matter. Values do matter. And the people of Tennessee let the political establishment know that last night.
Well, just let me add, though, I think there is an ideological component, and she was certainly a far-left candidate, and she had a far-left tendency, but, it's more cosmetic than that. It's more of an appearance. If they had had John Ossoff, for example, running in that race last night, that race is closer. It's probably within 5 points. They can't get out of their own way right now. Now, look, this is still a problem. This is a problem for Republicans. It's always a problem in these midterm elections when you're in power. But I think this is going to maybe it'll show up in the midterms, but it's really going to show its head is in that next presidential election, the way the Democratic Party is sort of reacting to everything right now.
I completely agree. And it, once again, it goes back to the fact that people are inspired by vision. creating controversy, personalities, tearing people down, those are all negative items. And if the Republican Party can be visionary, if we can have leaders who explain why these values that we believe in, limited government, freedom, matter to people's individual lives and how it will make their lives better, there is a tremendous opportunity over the next few cycles.
Right. Well, what do you, the last question on elections here, like, how do you do this? Like, how do Republicans, will they recognize this vulnerability in the Democratic Party and make it something that they could capitalize on?
Well, I mean, that is the message. Republican, we've been talking about the problems with the Democrat Party. Now we can talk about the problems with the Republican Party. I think the Republican Party as a whole, and especially our elected officials, have to escape from what I call the political bubble. You know, Washington, D.C., it's the D.C. bubble. In Montgomery, it's the Montgomery bubble. You know, the lobbyists are there, the different special interest groups, this and that, and they lose touch. And this is on both sides of the aisle, but it is definitely Republicans have got to get our act together. We have to get back in touch with the people, and we have to listen to the grassroots. We have to actually fulfill some of the promises we made. Things like actually cutting taxes, actually cutting spending, you know, tightening our belts, bringing, you know, getting the economy back where it needs to be, stopping inflation, securing the border, you know, the things that the people of America voted for last November. And some of this is getting out of the way of Donald Trump, letting him do. Some of it is redefining, you know, actually exploring why we believe what we believe and how to communicate that message with the public. So I think the Republican Party, there's a lot that we can do, and there's a lot that our candidates can do to better explain the message. Because so often, and this is the number one thing when I'm talking to candidates, I say, don't accept the premise of the question from the media, from the left. They'll always try to trap you in a box, and we have to get out of that box, start talking about the policies we believe in, and start talking directly to the American people, and cut out the middleman. Don't think about the media, talk to the audience, and that's the voters. And we need to get back in touch with the average everyday American and the values that are important to them.
One more question. We'll get you out of here. Down in here in Fairhope this week, one of these left-wing front groups, Every Library, presenting the library board here with a check to compensate for the loss of funds from the state. Just your reaction to that, and, you know, is this going to, I mean, this is going to put the ball in the legislature's court, to get a handle on this policy, right?
I mean, I can definitely see the legislature playing a role here. And look, I think what this continues to highlight is just how out of touch, you know, in this case, it's not the Democrat Party, but just how far out of touch these leftist groups are. Look, the people of Fairhope, the people of Alabama, don't want their children exposed to sexually explicit content. And the fact that this is the battle that they want to engage on just continues to boggle my mind. With this funding, look, if Fairhope wants to snub the state and say, no, we're not going to fulfill, you know, we're not going to follow the state guidelines and move sexually explicit content out of their libraries, look, they may get, you know, this funding for this year. But this is a permanent decision. This is not something that's going to go away. This is not something the state's going to back down on. We're going to make sure that every Alabama library complies with state code or they will lose their funding. And that's not 1 year. That's permanent. And so I don't know. I go back to what government, good government stands for. And good government stands for representing the people. And I think on this issue, it's incredibly clear. The people of Alabama, the people of Fairhope, want a library that makes every single family feel welcome and that parents don't have to be concerned about what their children are accidentally going to stumble across. And that's what the state's going to do. And what other groups do, what the local library board down there does, raise money independently, that's up to them. I don't want to get dragged into the weeds on that. I think the important thing is that the APLS board does our job and we fulfill our duty to the people of Alabama.
Let me and just ask you this, because we had a municipal election down here. The candidates who ran on all but one who ran on a sort of let's clean up the library situation, they lost. And I don't know what to take away from that other than this issue didn't really move the needle, it seemed like.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, don't forget that we're not talking about candidates running for library board, right? There's so many more issues for city council race. The average voter may not even understand the connection between city council and library board. I don't think this was necessarily a referendum on the library issue when it comes to city council races. They're very independent. There's a lot of other things in play. I just don't see the overlap there. There can be someone that the vast majority of people are going to vote for because they know them or they believe in their policies and other issues just because they may disagree with them on the library issue. So I never read too much into the city council races with this. If there was a referendum on the ballot, asking the question, do you want, you know, sexual content moved out of the library in Fairhope? I believe that the results would be overwhelmingly in favor of moving the content.
Jeremy, we appreciate your time, and we'll do this again next Tuesday.
Well, always good to be on the show, and I appreciate you working with my schedule this week. I know I'm up in D.C., and I appreciate you letting me play hooky on you yesterday, and glad to catch up with you today.
Jeremy, we appreciate your time, and like I said, thanks for coming on.
Yep, always a pleasure.
All right, we got to get a break in here, guys. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Song of the South, sweet potato pie.